Japan's considered one of the most prepared nations in the world when it comes to disaster relief, but even that nation is struggling to rebuild. Sandy Doughton is science reporter for the Seattle Times. She just returned from a reporting trip to Japan, and Sandy told me she was surprised by how little had been rebuilt.
There's nearly 270,000 people who are still living in temporary housing, and these cities where the downtowns were completely destroyed by the tsunami, there has been very little built back there yet.
So I think a lot of Americans initially saw pictures 3 years ago, but more recently we've seen a lot of footage of what happened along the U.S. coast when Hurricane Sandy hit. Is what you saw in Japan comparable to the sort of devastation we see in New Jersey?
I would say it was a lot worse compared to what happened in New Jersey. I mean, you know, some of those towns in New Jersey were, some of the places really closest to the coast were wrecked a little bit. But in Japan, you're talking about devastation that goes several miles inland because the tsunami traveled up river. So the areas that were wiped out in Japan were much, much bigger than those affected in Sandy.
So everything 2 miles inland might have been
in some places
flattened?
Yeah, in some places.
And you said you were surprised at how much had not yet been rebuilt. Is that just because of the magnitude of the construction job, or are those conscious planning decisions?
Well, it's a combination of both. I mean, obviously, this is just a massive rebuilding project that Japan is facing. But there's also been a lot of debate, a lot of discussion about how do you build back in areas that are going to be prone to tsunamis in the future. You know, a lot of people wanted to just build back the cities as they were, where they were. And, you know, when you think about it, that doesn't make a lot of sense, knowing that, you know, it's going to get hit by tsunamis in the future. So it's been, those debates have been playing out for 2-3 years now. And most of the communities that I visited have at this point settled on kind of their general approach to rebuilding. And in most cases, that means relocating houses on higher ground and restricting lower ground for businesses.
I'm talking with Sandy Doughton of the Seattle Times, who just returned from a trip to Japan where they are commemorating the third anniversary today of the devastating magnitude, at least 9.0 earthquake and the subsequent tsunami. You mentioned a debate over what should happen in these areas, and I can't imagine that the Japanese government has the same sort of process that we do here in the Northwest. I imagine somebody may be making a decision for public hearings. When you look at the two places side by side in terms of preparedness, do you feel that what you saw in Japan in terms of decision making for the future will move them ahead of the curve, ahead of where our officials might be at this point?
Well, I certainly think, you know, Japan is learning from their experience, and I think we can learn from their experience, too. For example, you know, one of the things that a lot of the people out there complain about and that they feel slowed the pace of recovery were Japan's fairly rigid regulations and a lot of bureaucratic red tape. So that, you know, like deciding if you're going to relocate a community, where are you going to relocate? How are you going to acquire that land? And Japan has a lot of really strict rules around that. And, you know, we do too. Mm-hmm. So one of the messages is that after a disaster like this, there needs to be more flexibility.
Hmm. And did you get the sense that the people whose homes and businesses and lives had been destroyed felt that they'd had enough say in what was going to be happening?
No, definitely not. I think my impression is that things are a little more top down in Japan, maybe than they are here, and a lot of communities felt like the government was sort of imposing, you know, kind of a prescription on them. Like if you're going to build, you know, you have to be this far from the water, the land has to be this high, and that sort of thing. So, you know, the local communities are negotiating with the government, trying to come up with solutions that are more suited for that particular town. In the town of Kesenuma, for example, people were very upset because the government plans to build a seawall in the main port where they never had one before, but the government wants to put in something, you know, like 15, 17 feet high that will block the view of the waterfront, and the businesses and a lot of the people don't really like that. So they've been negotiating with the city, trying to come up with some sort of a compromise.
Sandy, you're in, I think, a uniquely qualified position to look at what happened in Japan and come back, because you know so much about the potential destruction that we could see here if a subduction zone quake of this magnitude, I shouldn't say if, I should say when, right, it hits off the coast. Aside from being flexible, what do you think the biggest lesson that we can take from what's happening in Japan is?
I think I see two main lessons that we really need to pay attention to. And the first one is that we need to bolster our infrastructure. In Japan, almost all of the damage was caused by the tsunami. You didn't hear about buildings collapsing in the earthquake, even though it was a really big quake.
Because they were prepared for that.
Correct. Their building standards are stricter than ours in a lot of ways. And also, their infrastructure is robust enough that within a week or so after the quake, in most areas, they were able to reestablish, you know, power, cell phone service, water, that kind of thing. And here in the Northwest, a new analysis shows that in some areas, it could be months before power is restored. It could be years before water systems, sewer systems are repaired. So a really big lesson for us is that we need to get those things in shape so that when it happens, we'll be able to recover more quickly.
And the second lesson?
And the second lesson is that we need to start thinking now about long-term recovery after a disaster like this. This is the kind of thing that Japan is dealing with right now. Where do you put all these people who are going to be displaced from a disaster like this? Is there higher ground where communities can be relocated? What do you do now in terms of developing a framework so that governments will be able to quickly annex land if they need to? So those kinds of things are the Japanese experience makes it clear that the more you can think about that in advance, the better off you're going to be.
Sandy Doughton is science reporter for the Seattle Times. She just returned from a reporting trip to Japan. You'll hear more about earthquake preparedness in the second hour of The Record on KUOW.